Can we sit down? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wow. The church is so colorful. I wore this last on a wedding. So any opportunity to wear this, I'm very happy to. Yeah, it's, you know, heaven will be wonderful. Heaven is going to be awesome. It's going to be colorful, vibrant, happy. See, if you're not a happy person, start practicing from now. Or you'll be out of place in heaven. Heaven's going to be a wonderful, active, vibrant, happy, joyous place with lots of color and lots of wonderful praise. You know, so we are rehearsing to before heaven starts. Okay, that's what we're doing here. We're getting ourselves prepared, you know, the way you normally rehearse before a service. That's what we're doing on earth. On earth, we rehearse for heaven. We prepare for heaven. So today, and I'm going to talk about, and when I spoke about this in the morning, I couldn't finish this talk. So may God help me. Yeah, I'll probably have to be faster. You know, and when we decided to have an African service, and the first thing that came to my mind about Africa is that Africa is one of the most diverse continents in the world. I have not been to South Africa before. I haven't been to East Africa before. I am from West Africa. I've only been to the country next to Nigeria, which is the Republic of Benin. You know, so I know little of Africa. It's a very diverse, wonderful, vibrant continent with lots of languages. Apparently, 1,500 languages in Africa alone. So many, you know. And I say, wow. And where did this all start from? And I remembered Babel. Yeah. And in the whole world, they're like, oh, there are so many languages in the whole world. And remember what happened in Babel when God confused the languages. But God had a plan. From Babel, he's taking us, or he has taken us to Pentecost. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to read together. Let me check if this is working. Yeah, good. So these are the languages you have in the world. There are so many. And languages everywhere. And okay, back again. And that's Africa for you. In Nigeria alone, there are like 500 languages in one country. You know, so like by the time you drive like 5 kilometers, you get on that language group. You know? Yeah, so it's so diverse. Although some are spoken much more widely than others. So God is a God of variety, you know, and we love him for that. So we're going to read in Genesis chapter 11. And one thing I believe in reading the scripture, because the scripture on its own explains itself. Okay, we can just read the scripture here and go, and the Holy Spirit will speak to us individually. The word of God is powerful and active, able to divide both flesh and spirit, pierces through the marrows, searches the deep intent of the hearts of people. You know, and basically, as we appear before the world, we are moved from one level of glory to the other. We are being transformed by the washing of water by the word. When we become born again, we are unregenerated Christians. That's why you see Christians who still lie, who still backbite, who still keep malice, you know, who still get angry and get into a rage. And that's why the Bible says that we should be washed by the water of the word. The word of God begins to transform you and I as we face the word of God, as we study the word of God. It begins to change us. And that's why it's important for us to have a personal quiet time and a personal Bible study for God to speak to you through his word. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 11, 1 to 9. And please, and could you just read this with me, please? And I hope it's okay. So we'll just read. Genesis 11, 1 to 9. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves, otherwise we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them all over the world, or the earth. Amen. So we can see how the whole thing started, and their motives were wrong. And, you know, God searches the hearts of people. He searches your motives. You know, two people could be doing the same thing, but they could have different motives. God is interested in what's in your heart. That's what God is much more interested in, what's in your heart. And God saw that these guys, their motives for building the tower was wrong. And also they were going against what God had planned. And God decided to scatter them or confuse their language and scatter them over the face of the earth. And I was watching, as I normally watch Superbook almost all the time, I was watching Superbook with my kids, and they were showing the Tower of Babel, you know, and two guys were building stuff, and they're speaking the same language, and when God confused the languages, they were like, okay, what are you saying? And because they could not understand each other, one pushed the other one off the cliff, and the guy died, you know, because there was no communication. Communication is so important. I'm married, I know how important communication is. You can say one thing and it could mean a million things. You understand? So you have to be very, very clear what you're saying. You know? And even in the church, even in the office, communication is so important. And God knew where to strike. He confused the language and they could not communicate with each other. Now let's see God's original plan. What was God's original plan? So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. I'll read this to us so that we save time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And Genesis chapter 9, verse 1 says, and that was after the flood when then God had delivered Noah from and his family from the flood. It says, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. God's plan is for man to increase. It's for man to move. And that's why in the early church, when they had received the Holy Spirit, they were in one place. They all stayed in Jerusalem. And what happened? The Bible says that God sent a great persecution to the early church. And they were scattered. And people like Philip, who was not even an apostle, you know, Philip went to Samaria and he turned the entire city upside down. That same Philip, who was just a deacon, and he went to so many places because they moved. God wants the gospel to move. God wants the church to expand. And that's why I love it that our church now has two services and we're going to have more. And we're going to have a bigger place in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I went to a church in Leeds and gosh, they bought an entire complex. And I was praying. I said, God, that's Ilim Abarisu. That's our church. Amen. I was receiving it on behalf of the church. God wants to fill the earth with the fragrance of Jesus. There's so much hate. There's so much darkness. There's so much sadness. There's so much war. There's so much trouble in the world. But God has sent you as a fragrance upon the earth, to bring about peace, to bring about joy. There's this song by Ron Kinnolly that says, "And righteousness, peace, and joy, that's the kingdom of God." That's what God is spreading through you, through me. And he wants us to go. So God told them to spread. But these guys, what did they do? They stayed in one place. They didn't want to go. They wanted to make a name for themselves. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. Everything is about God. It's not about you. You know, I was saying that God, if it was all about me, I would not be where I am today. I'll probably be lounging in the Bahamas and relaxing and just chilling. You understand? I love chilling. You understand? You know? But it's not about me, it's about God. God wants to use you to spread his gospel. And that's why God scattered their language. So if you go to, or confused your language, sorry. If you go to Genesis chapter 11, verse 8 to 9, which we read before, we'll just take it again. It says, so the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That's why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So God had to scatter them so that they can move and do what God has called them to do. Now, God started the whole process. You know, before something goes wrong, God already has a plan. Can you say with me, God has a plan? Say, God has a plan. Things may be confused right now in your life, but God has a plan. Amen. I remember when I left university, my uncle told my father, this guy is going to amount to nothing. You should have known me when I was younger. I was a confused wreck. You know? Yeah, I was a very happy, jolly person, but I was a mess. You know, but God had a plan. And his plan is still unfolding. It's not perfect yet. But God is unfolding his plan gradually. And God has a plan for you. He says, the thoughts I have for you are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you a hope, to give you a future, and to take you to your desired end. God has a plan for your life. It may not look like it right now, but his plan is unfolding. God called Abraham. Anytime God wants to do something, he looks for a person. He doesn't need many people. He says, I look for a man who will stand in the gap. God looks for a person. Any work of God starts with a man, a person. God has a plan for this city. It starts with you, for this town. God has a plan for Wales. It starts with you. God has a plan for your family. It starts with you. God has a plan for the university. It starts with you. God has a plan for your neighborhood. It starts with you. God called Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless you. Not just for yourself. He wants to bless you so that you'll be a blessing. You know, I see, you know, there's a difference between the Dead Sea, for those of you who have gone to Israel, between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. What's the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee? The Dead Sea just receives water, doesn't flow out. While the Sea of Galilee, water goes through, so it's fresh. At least I hope so right now. Because many waters are not fresh. I'm doing some work on water pollution right now. There's so much pollution in rivers. God doesn't want you to be a receiver of his blessing, but to be a blessing. When you hold your hands, when you close your hands, nothing comes in, nothing goes out. But when your hands are open, things come out and go in. God wants you to be a blessing. He called Abraham to be a blessing. He blessed him so he can be a blessing to others. And God has called us to be a blessing to other people. So God called Abraham. The whole process of going from Babel to Pentecost started when God called a man. And the man, he was not all together. He had his problems. Abraham had too many problems. Abraham lied. He called his wife, his sister, you know, twice. Interesting. You know, he lied. He deceived. You know, David killed. You know, all of them had problems. But God used them. God does not look for people who have things all together. He loves broken vessels so he can make them and mold them and use them for his glory so that you will not take all the glory, okay? Because he's the one that molded you. God found Abraham, called him, and used him. And God is also calling you today. He's calling you out of this world. We are called the ecclesia. We are called the called out one. There's a world system that is at play right now. And God is calling the church out. Not physically out of this world, but out of the thinking, the mindset of this world, out of the system that governs this world. The Bible says we are seated in heavenly places above powers and principalities right here on earth. God has lifted us out of this world system and he has placed us in heavenly places. He says in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Thank you. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. God has a good, a pleasing, and a perfect will for you. And for this world, and for this church, and for this nation, and for this city, and for this town. And God is calling you. He's saying, do not conform. Now, the way the world thinks is different. As far as the world thinks, and as you give, as you hold back, you get more. That's what the world thinks. But the Bible says, give. Give, and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Give. It's counterculture. The church is counterculture. The Bible says that the early apostles or the early church, they turned the world upside down. They did things that were against the prevailing culture of their time. And that's why people always think that you're crazy or you do some things in very, very weird ways. Why does he forgive? How can he forgive? How can he love someone who doesn't love him? That doesn't make sense. You revenge or you give back what you're giving. But the world is counterculture. The world is different. How can he love someone that doesn't look like him? How can he love somebody from another culture? The church is different. God has called us into a new mindset, into a new world. And God is making us into a nation. You know, Christianity is not all about salvation. It doesn't end with salvation. Is the beginning of our journey. It's about the kingdom. We have been called into a kingdom. And we understand what kingdom is because the British kingdom or the United Kingdom is a kingdom run by a king. And in the kingdom, you please the king. Everything is done for the king, not for yourself. That's why we don't have a constitution. It's all about the king. And the same thing in the kingdom of God. It's all about the king. And that's when people ask, you know, I've been going through some things, or I went through some things, and I was asking God, why am I going through these things? And you know what God told me? It's all about me. I am working something in you. It's not about you, it's all about me. Christianity is not, God doesn't want to please you. It's not about pleasing you. The kingdom is not to please you, it is to please God. Because when God is pleased, you'll be super pleased. I can guarantee that, you'll be super pleased. Once you understand what God is doing, and you key in, you know, in physics, they have this experiment about resonance, when you have got to tune in forks, and by the time they come into resonance, it's fantastic. Once you are in resonance with God, it is awesome. It is awesome. You become super pleased. And in the kingdom, or in a nation, I was going through a write-up about some characteristics of a nation, and I'll just speak about four of them, then we'll just round up. The first one is common descent. Nations have a common lineage. They can trace their ancestry to one person. You can go and do a DNA test and find out where you're coming from. I haven't done, and I'm not doing any because I come from the kingdom of God, and that's fine. You know, nations are within a geographical boundary. They have a government, and they speak a common language most of the time. Now, let's talk about the common descent. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29, it says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, or all of you who were baptized into Christ have filled yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. I am not directly related to Abraham physically, okay? I'm not, you know, but we have been grafted into Abraham's seed. The moment you become a child of God, you have been grafted spiritually into the lineage of Abraham. And I was reading somewhere that a child who is adopted cannot be disinherited. You cannot do that. So that's how important we are to God. We have been drafted into the lineage of Abraham. We have the same descent. We have the same DNA. It's spiritual DNA. It's not the helix that you normally have. It's spiritual. We have the same father, who is God. Abraham is our father spiritually. And we all belong to the same geographical region. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13 to 16, it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. I love Hebrews 1. It talks about the fathers of the faith. And it's nice to read that scripture. It's fantastic to see that even some of them, they died without receiving what they were looking for, but they still kept on doing what we call them to do. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, and they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. We are not home yet. We're not at home. I am not home yet. This world is not my home. So don't feel comfortable here. I'm not comfortable in this place. I am much more concerned about taking more people home. You know, when you go out, you understand, you're always longing to go back, especially if your mom cooks very well. You understand? You're always longing to go back to go and eat your mom's food. On this side of eternity, we're not home. And that's why Abraham lived in tents. He knew that his home was beyond this place. And he looked forward. And that's why when things happen, when people offend me, I'm like, I wouldn't bother myself in getting to an offense because I'm going somewhere. I'm going home. I wouldn't allow any baggage to hold me here on earth. The Bible says, little foxes that spoil the vine. There's nothing in this world that should stop us from going home. Whether people offend you, whether people get angry with you, whether people don't like you, just keep focused. Paul was saying that, I press on. Paul was a very focused guy. I press on, looking forward to the goal, heavenward. He was focused. He knew. The Bible says, just Christ said, he endured the cross unto death because of what was placed ahead of him. We're going home. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. And we'll get there in Jesus' name. Every nation has a government. I'll just skip this scripture. Every nation has a government. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7 says, I love this scripture. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Ooh. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We belong to a nation that has a government, and our king is Jesus Christ. You know, I was watching a film about the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, and what happened to all the nations. And the Bible says that a stone that was cut out with our hands hit the feet of that statue and destroyed the statue. And that stone began to grow. And that stone is the church, is the kingdom of God. The church started small with some ragtag guys, you understand, uneducated people. And today the church has grown all over the world and it keeps on growing. And one day, we will see him even as he sees us. We will meet him face to face. The government of God is on the move, and the church carries that government. In the way you have a government, you have got you have got cabinet ministers, those guys who sit around the table. We are the guys who sit around the table right now. We call the shots here. Because when we speak to our Father, He does things on our behalf. He does things to make this world a better place. We call the shots here on earth because we sit around the table. We are in this government. And God is saying, exercise your governmental rights. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 9. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He was speaking to Peter. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 to 6 says, And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, he had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have the keys of the kingdom. And how are we using those keys? The keys to let people in. There are people out there. The Bible said the whole earth is groaning as in back pangs for the manifestation of the sons of God. The world is waiting for you to manifest in your kingdom gifting, in your calling, in your grace. You know, not just in church. I tell people that if you want to only shine in church, you're just like shining a torchlight during the daytime. Go out there where it's dark, in the office, at home, in your neighborhood. Shine. That's where the light is needed, not in church. We have too much light in church. There's so many things that God has called you and I to do out there. We have got the ear of the King. We can touch heaven to change earth. That's what God has called us to do. We belong to His government. And finally, not the final slide though. A nation has a common language. In Pentecost, at Babel, the languages were confused. And now we have so many languages all over the whole world, and there was confusion. But at Pentecost, He gave us one language. He gave us His Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, I will not read the whole thing. I will just read some few verses of Acts chapter 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the earth. It was so ironic that there were so many people there that God chose the right time. He chose the right time. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Amen. Amen. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galatians? And how is it that we hear each one in our own language in which we were born? And I'll jump to verse 12. It says, so they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? What could this mean? They all had one language. They could hear each other. The Holy Spirit had come. The Holy Spirit is here today. It is exciting to be a Christian empowered by the Holy Spirit. It is a chore to be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes the difference. And He's here today. And they ask the question, whatever could this mean? What could this mean? And I would like to tell us what this what that meant. Number one, we are one in Christ, and we are all Abraham's seed. Galatians chapter 3, verse 20, 29 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bound nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye all are one in Christ Jesus. When I see Pastor Joel, I see him as my brother from another mother. I'm being serious. There's nothing I would do for my blood brother that I wouldn't do for Pastor Joel. When our son had an accident and we had to go to Liverpool, it was not my brother that carried me to Liverpool, it was Pastor Joel. My brother wasn't here, but I called on my brother from another mother, and he drove me all the way. The people who prayed for me, I don't even know who some of them are. You know, there were guys praying in Saudi Arabia, guys praying in Nigeria, praying in all over the whole world, people in the hospital, because we all come from the same lineage. We are all one in Christ. It was so beautiful. The unity of purpose was fantastic. That's what God wants the church to be like. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and in thought. God is waiting for the church to unite. The world may be divided, but in the body of Christ, we are one. And when we are one, there's nothing that God can't do through us in unity. God is waiting for us to come together, have the same mindset. Yes, we may be different, we may have different skin colors, we may come from different parts of the world, we may speak different languages, we may have different culturalizations, but in Christ, we're one. We're all together. Whether you like it or not, I'm your brother, you can't run away from me. I may show up in your house very soon for a meal. We're one in Christ. And there's so much beauty in unity. God does so much. You see, that's where God ordains praise. If you really want to see God at work, go to a place of unity. God moves. God loves a place of unity. He loves to move in the midst of people who are united. And I love this. He says, and you shall receive power to be witnesses. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when the Bible says we shall receive power, it doesn't mean physical power per se. It doesn't mean power to oppress people. It doesn't mean power to lord it over people. It means power to be a witness. Who is a witness? I saw this. I was sick. I had asthma. I was actually born with asthma. I was asthmatic. I gave my life to Christ. My asthma went. I'm a witness. God healed me. I had inhalers. I used to wheeze. I used to almost die. But today, for over 20 years, no asthma, gone. That's a witness. God wants to be a witness. You know, I had a broken life, and God turned my life around. I was going through financial situations, and God turned it around. That's a witness. You don't have to be able to quote the entire scripture to be a witness. You just have to tell the stories of what God has done for you and what he will do for you. And as you tell the stories of God's goodness to other people, God will do more. There's so much more that God wants to do through you and I to be a witness. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He makes you a witness of the goodness of God. And I'm asking you today, do you want to be a witness of God's goodness in this world that needs people to be witnesses? The Bible said the whole earth is waiting in anticipation, in birth pangs. Oh, I've seen what birth pangs are. I've been in the same room my wife was giving birth, and I almost fainted. It is tough. Gosh. You know, waiting in bedpans for the manifestation of the sons and the daughters of God. The world is waiting for you. Your office is waiting for you. Your school is waiting for you. Your neighborhood is waiting for you to manifest before the Lord comes. And a final word from Agogo, and I decided to tell them what I was going to preach yesterday, and they ended up telling me what to preach, so I just gave up. This guy seemed to know so much. So this is what Agogo said. You know, he just said, well, this is what God is telling him. So I'll just read this out. It says, at Babel, God confused the languages of the world because of their disobedience. And this brought about confusion. But on the day of Pentecost, God gave the church a new heavenly language, which has brought the church together in unity and in power. Amen. From Babel to Pentecost. God has brought us into Pentecost. And the question is, do you want to be a part of this kingdom? You may be here. And I was born, my parents were Christians, and I used to go to church from when I was born up till university. But I gave my life to Christ after university. And I was going to church. You know, I was singing Christian songs. I was behaving like a Christian, but I knew in my heart that I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And you may be here, and you may be saying, God, I want to be a part of this kingdom, the kingdom of God. And it says in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. And the popular John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We live in a dispensation of grace. God's coming this time around, right now, is grace. When he comes again, he comes to judge the world. Right now, it's grace. And so if you're here and you're saying, God, I really want to tap into your grace. I want to live for you. I want to enjoy as part of your kingdom. Even as we close our eyes and as we talk to God, you don't have to put your hands up. And after this service, if that's you, and you can see Pastor Joel, the guy wearing nice blue top by the piano there, or you can come and speak to me, and I'll speak to any of the leaders of the church. I saw Dave around somewhere. And so if that's you, and you're saying, God, I want to know you personally, and please, this is the time. Even as we just quietly just reflect. And Father, I just want to pray for as many people who are here, who have decided that, Lord, they want to come into your kingdom. Children, at the age of 11, Lord, you are in the temple. I pray for all our children, oh God, that, Lord, they will come to know you. They will not just be coming because their parents are coming here. They will come here because they have a personal conviction of you. I pray for all the students that, Lord, as they come here, God, that they will have a personal conviction of you. I pray for everyone, Lord, especially those who don't know you, that, Lord Almighty, they will catch the fire that is so wonderfully consuming most of us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to pray that, God, that your church that you said you're coming for will be united, that your church will be glorified, that your church, Lord Jesus Christ, will do what you have called your church to do. In Jesus' name, amen.